It's my joy this morning to bring the word of God to you. And as I said, Sunday also, ago also, we continue with our series for the sub-quarter. And the title of our sub-quarter is Uprooting the Weeds. And the focus today is unwholesome talk. Unwholesome talk. I don't know what comes into your mind when you hear unwholesome talk. Most of the time when we hear unwholesome talk, people think about curse words. Oh, and people like cursing, by the way, even on friendly basis. You know, you make a curse like an exclamation mark. You know, a team has scored, you're so happy. Instead of saying praise God or I'm happy, you curse. But today, we are going to look at this topic and understand what does it mean when we say unwholesome talk. Now, there are three categories of unwholesome talk. Now, the first one is triviality. Then the next one is sex and body. And the other one is meanness. So those are the three categories we are going to look at as we talk about unwholesome talk. And as usual, I'm very excited about this gadget. Now I feel like a very big international speaker. Very excited about this. Now, so when we talk about unwholesome talk, even before we get to the categories, we are saying these are words that are uttered with your mouth or typed. So these are words we say, speak, and they're also words that we type. Now, when you look at social media today, there is a lot of unwholesome stuff going on there. Young people are attacking each other in very bad ways. Young people walking on the avenues of hatred, typing unwholesome talk. So, need to understand, we are not just talking about words. We are also talking about those things that people write. Now, let's start with the first one, triviality. Now, this is when people trivialize things of terrible seriousness. Now, people use the word holy, which is a very serious word. They use the word damn. It's another serious word, especially in the Christian sense. They also use hell. There could be others, but let's look at these three first. Now, when we trivialize terrible realities, like those words I'm saying, it is simply a contradiction to believe that horrible praise like hell, which is really horrible. And there are people who don't even believe in it. You don't have to believe in it. It is there. It is a horrible praise. And the Bible says that praise is a praise of anguish, tears, and pain, and gnashing of teeth. Somebody asked, what will happen to those who don't have teeth? Now, teeth will be supplied. It's hell. Now, you can't imagine that such a horrible praise like hell can become a punctuation mark for emphasis when talking about non-important issues like a goal score. You are seated somewhere in Kino, then Messi scores against Barcelona and you are Chelsea. No, not against Barcelona, against Chelsea. And you are there saying, holy whatever, or hell whatever. Seriously? So you trivialize a very serious word in a very meaningless way. You know, damnation, for instance, you say, damn it. You know, damnation in the Christian sense means condemnation, eternal condemnation. You know, it's damnation. And look at the way we use that word, damnation. Holy. Now, God says, be holy as I am holy. Now, does this word carry the same weight when we say holy cow? You expect me to say the others? Say them on your behalf. holy wherever. Something that is supposed to signify a matter of serious magnitude. And then you just use it casually. It's a horrible place. Hell no. It has become a punctuation in our daily talk. To punctuate our conversation. Hell no. Are you going to take coffee? Hell no. Coffee is, for heaven's sake, a very small thing. You don't have to say hell no. Because you don't take coffee. And wholesome talk. So the first sense of the wholesome talk is triviality. When we trivialize things of terrible seriousness without thinking about them. Now the next one is, this is now the most popular, sex and the city. No, sex and body. Sex and body. This is when we use words to refer to sex and body parts. Now, one day I did a seminar with the teens and I asked them to write. I was on PowerPoint. I told them, please tell me every cuss word you know. And I was typing. At some point, my feet were shaking because of the words I heard. Some I have never even heard before. Why? I was really worried. Now, vulgar language, which is very common in our movies, in our daily talk, in reference to sex and the human body, is something that God hates. And this is why Paul told these people, the Ephesians, the Colossians, that let no unwholesome talk come from your mouths. Now with this kind of language, people take good things that God has made and use them like mud to smear on whatever they get upset about. You use something that God has given to us like a gift, and then you use it to rubbish whatever upsets you. You know, the whole assumption behind the use of farga, four-letter word, which I'm not able to mention here, which is the most commonly used word in the traffic, when somebody cuts you off, you throw the word in the sky. Even at home, somebody told me, you know, because a guy was so much used to cursing and he disagreed with the mother and used the word to the mother. Said, oh my God, I'm sorry. But the word was already out. You know? Now, how, for example, does the sexual relations created by God, as good as it is, how does it get translated into a four-letter word and carry the meaning of hate and disdain? Think about it. Now, it's narrowed in a four-letter word, and it is used to disdain and hate. Profanity. There are people who cannot end their conversation without using a bad word. There are people who cannot end their conversation without using vulgar language. Now, if we were to censor them, we would hear nothing. Now, remember Mike Tyson. How many people know Mike Tyson here? Brother, it's okay. How many people know Mike Tyson? Guy, Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson, one day after he had a fight with Hollywood, he was interviewed on live television and they had to stop it. They had to stop it. Now, later on, we could not even hear what was going on because they had like to censor everything he was saying. Oh my God. And he was saying, what is this guy saying? And there are people we have to censor because of their bad language every single day. So when you are frustrated, when you are upset, how are you supposed to express your frustration? Are you supposed to use unwholesome language? Are you supposed to invoke profanity? As a Christian, there are better words you can say if you at all you have to say words. Now, I grew up in a place where thank you had many meanings. Now, whenever you did something wrong to a person, especially people from the church, they would easily tell you, thank you. It was not meant to thank you for the insult or for the offense. It was a helpless response. Because I'm not going to speak back against you, I'm not going to insult you back, but thank you. Thank you. I've heard people say, God bless you. Now, if you must say things, then learn to say the right things. Sex and body organs. There are people who are very much excited about body organs. And I keep on asking, why do you have to insult somebody using a body organ you have? Stupidity. How can you insult someone with a body organ you have? You even invoke the name of your mother. Because you're just upset. This is long and unwholesome talk. Now, the last one is meanness. Meanness. Unwholesome language is used in very mean ways. And that's why Paul says, avoid rotten language. It's not good, it's rotten. Now, when somebody speaks to you and you tell them, shut up! That is an awesome talk. Because that shut up response is supposed to intimidate and put someone down completely. These words are vicious and loveless. Now, we have some examples there of these words. Good example of this category is slander. These are words falsely spoken to damage the reputation of others. There are people who are, for no apparent reason, slander others. When you peddle a false rumor against someone, you just saw them with a sister, and now the talk goes. Slander. Words falsely spoken that damage the reputation of another person. It is totally wrong. It's unwholesome talk. Casting aspersions. You know, an abusive attack on a person's character or good name. This is unwholesome talk. Defamation. You may file charges and get some money, yes, but defamation is wrong. It's unwholesome talk. Anything that is malicious is unwholesome talk intended to harm another person. Character assassination, unwholesome talk, gossip. Socrates said, and I like that philosopher, when the debate is lost, slander becomes the tool of the loser. If you cannot catch up with someone, the best thing you do, you start slandering their name. If you think someone is better than you, instead of thanking God for them, you start peddling rumors against them. So this is what Paul is saying is unwholesome talk, which we need to avoid. Harsh criticism on people. Destructive criticism that is meant to intimidate others is unwholesome talk. There are people who are very good at that. You focus on a weakness of a person, and you make it the center of discussion, the focal point of this big discussion. And when you want to look at a person's faults and shortcomings, you easily find them, even in the service. If you ask us to look for mistakes, you easily see them. So you focus on it, not for the reason of helping a person to become better or to improve, but to put that person down and to intimidate them. It is wrong and unwholesome talk. Now, this is very important, friends. There is some big truth here. When we talk about unwholesome talk, we are saying that the sins of the mouth are an indication of the sins of the heart. The things people say, the things that are so near to their lips, means there is something going on in their hearts. So that's what I'm saying. The sins of the mouth, like unwholesome talk, is a strong indicator of the sins of the heart. Now, there is a close connection between the mouth and the heart. This is what the Bible says. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. So when you're using bad language, it's not just you are flashy and up to the times. No, it's because there is some evil in your heart. When you maliciously speak against someone, it's not a simple thing. It's because inside you, there is a weed that needs to be uprooted. Because the Bible says again, for out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. The popular version is, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Whatever is in your heart determines what you say. So if there is good stored up in your heart, only the good can come out of your mouth. But if it is evil that is stored up in your heart, then it becomes so easy for you to use this unwholesome language. Why? Because the best in your heart can only be referred to as evil, unwholesome talk. So we are saying the battle for purity of the mouth starts with the heart. It starts with the heart. Deal with the evil in your heart. If you want to say good things always to people, deal with your heart. Good example is anger. And Levere Kariuki Vikina 2 weeks ago or so, he spoke about anger and fits of rage. When you have this evil stored up in your heart, anger, uncontrolled anger. Now, when you are angry, people tend to speak these bad words. People tend to use unwholesome language. Now, that means that evil in your heart is the one that is facilitating, setting those words to your mouth. No wonder the Bible says, in your anger, sin not. Another fashion says, be angry, but sin not. Because when you sin, go against the will of God. So, if you have anger stored up in your heart, now, unwholesome talk will spring forth, will be spoken through the mouth. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So what should we do? This is the conclusion, friends. By the way, I forgot. I was looking for videos, but I don't know what happened. I was so busy. I wanted to come up with some videos. Videos are nice, but this is good enough. The first thing you need to do, guard your heart. Guard your heart. You see, there you walk downtown, and you are conscious where you are, and you get hold of your bag with some consciousness, you know. I see that a lot with the ladies here. Walking down River Road, then you hold tight to your back. Because there's some consciousness going on right there. Now, this is what the Bible says. Guard your heart. Protect your heart. Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart from everything. For everything you do flows from it. So guard your heart. Protect your heart. Have a lock in your heart. Do not open your heart to everything that comes your way. When you're watching these movies, what are you supposed to pick? Are you supposed to pick up those bad lines? Or are you supposed to get out something nice? Do you teach yourself to close yourself from things that are not constructive and things that are not helpful? As they say, it's actually a Japanese saying, you cannot avoid the bars from frying you around your head, but you can indeed stop the bars from building a nest on your head. So sometimes in these situations, but you have a chance to guard your heart. How do we guard our heart? Someone is asking. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. If what is rich in you is unwholesome talk, now change it. Fill your heart with the word of God. Because when you have the word of God in your heart, then you can only say things that are constructive and helpful to others. Guard your heart and mind by filling them with God's word. Hold fast to the true meaning of following God and don't let go. Then he says, and the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, will guard your heart. Now, it's not even your business. It is the peace of God that will guard your heart. But for that to happen, you must be very deliberate about it. Accept the word of God in your heart. Let it fill your heart. And that is the lock you need for your heart, the word of God. So that when you're angry and upset, you can remember those words that can only bring healing. That's why the Bible says, bless your accusers. Do big to your enemies. You have a chance. Number two. So number one is, let the word of God dwell in you richly. Lock your heart. Number two, lead a spirit-dependent living or life. Why? Because with your own capacity, you cannot make it. You try to avoid saying bad things, but they just come out in your unguarded moment. Now, the Bible says, this is Zechariah who said it, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And that's why the Holy Spirit is called our helper, so that he can help us where we cannot. Indeed, by our own strength, we cannot make it. But when we allow the Spirit of God to reign in our lives, then he will help us. He will help us to store up the word of God in us and avoid unwholesome talk. Now, why do we need the Spirit in our lives? When we have the Spirit of God in our lives, there is a fruit of the Spirit there. Say, you know, Thessalonians 5:8. You know, and also Galatians. You know, talking about the fruit of the Spirit, one of it is self-control. Self-control is when you're about to say that bad word, then your tongue twists. You either keep quiet or you say a positive word. This is where the Spirit of God comes in regard to the unwholesome talk. Because he will give you the words. No wonder he said, when they bring you to courts in persecution, don't prepare what to say. The Spirit will give you the word. It's the same thing. When you are met with these situations where you are invited to curse and use a bad word or unwholesome talk, then the Spirit will give you the word to say. Because he has promised us to be our helper. So lead a spirit-filled life where you depend on the Spirit who fills your heart with the word, and also he gives you this wonderful value of self-control. In the traffic, it happens all the time. The tattoo people will cut you off and you want to lift up a finger, you want to use a bad word, but you discover this person not being your Audi the next minute. So why do you have to spoil your morning? Because of something very trivial. So you let it go and take care of the rest of the day, because it is important than that particular meaningless situation. So self-control, very, very important. Now, the other thing is love. So we have said three things. What do you need to do? Lock your heart. How do you lock your heart? Fill your heart with the word of God. Let the word of God dwell with a new richly. Colossians 3:16. Number two, lead a life filled with the Spirit, because the Spirit gives you words. He gives you utterance. So when you're supposed to say bad things, you get a light utterance. The Spirit will help you. It is difficult for you to do it by your own, but when you have the Spirit of God, he helps you. And finally, love. Love. Now, Christianity is radically others-oriented. When you love others, you don't seek to treat them in a mean way. Those guys at your estate, the way you look at them and they make mistakes, you shout at them and you hurl insults at them. Christianity has no room for that. When people mistreat you, Bible says pray for them. You have an option. Even if you don't agree with it, it's an option God has given you. Pray for those who mistreat you. So Christianity is about others. Love. Remove love from Christianity, it will die a natural death. It is the focal point of Christianity. That's why Paul says, do nothing out of selfish ambition. Rather, in humility, consider others better than yourself. That humility there is very important, because humility also used interchangeably with gentleness. Proverbs says, a harsh answer stirs up anger, but a soft answer turns away wrath. It's gentleness. So when the invitation comes to you to be rough and harsh, Then gentleness, like another gift of the Spirit. You become gentle and you respond in the right way. And I've been talking about this thing I'm learning in my life today. I keep on talking to everyone about it. In a situation, you can either react or respond. When you react, you're invoking your emotions. You have no room for listen. You get angry, you say things, you break stuff. But when you respond, you have an opportunity to think. You have an opportunity to be objective. So act in a very gentle way. And that can only happen when you respond. But when you react, there is no room for gentleness. There is no room to consider the other better than you. There is no room to love. Because reaction is a big enemy of love. Do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only that which is helpful for building others. So you should ask yourself, response, when you're responding, the question is, what am I going to say? Is it going to build that other person, or it is going to bring that person down? Now, when you realize that the intention is actually to bring that other person down, then you know you are not walking on the path of love. God is not near you there. So say things that are only beneficial to your hearers, the Bible says. So when you type those harsh words that demean the, you know, that steal, that rob the humanity of others, I should be heading now. You know, the hate words. Look at what happened in Rwanda. In the genocide. You know, what was the rallying call for the Itaharamwe, which was the militant group that was killing and butchering people? The clarion call was, the cockroaches are allowed. Some people are referred to as cockroaches so that they can be robbed of their dignity. And it becomes very easy for you to visit harm on the other person when you steal their dignity. When I call you a cockroach, what do you do with a cockroach? Crush it. So when I call you a cockroach, I'm demeaning, I'm robbing you of your human dignity. Even in Kenya, look at some of the words we used to demean other people. We refer to other tribes using names of animals so that we can steal their dignity and visit harm on them. You know, people say nyoka. Even heard when they were throwing small keys against the wall. Said, huu ni nyoka, mtoto wa nyoka ni? Kwasa kikuwa mkubwa, huu atakuwa nyoka mbaya. Then they throw the child against the stone. Why? Because these words are not words of love. They are supposed to demean people and steal their human God, their human dignity, which has been given to them by God. So, brothers and sisters, unwholesome talk is not your friend. Teach your tongue to say only those things that build others, not those things that bring others down. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're going to start for prayer.